This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Triple Threat, Sports Radio 610. Sean Pendergast alongside Rich Lord. And good to talk right now to our weekly guest here during the Major League Baseball postseason. And we love that we're talking to him during a postseason that's still going on for the Houston Astros. The Astros back home after splitting the first two games of the ALCS with the Boston Red Sox in Boston. Joining us right now, brought to you by Mack Hike Chevrolet, is Astros outfielder Tony Kemp. Tony, how are you?
What's up, guys? It's good to be back in Houston.
Yeah, it's good to have you back in Houston, man. And I guess, hey, let's start first with the Game 2 late innings. Man, did you think you had that thing wrapped around Pesky's pole?
Oh, man, it felt good off the bat, man. Yeah, I came off fastball up and in and really good pitch to hit for the first pitch of the at-bat. And, man, a couple more feet to the left, and I'm jogging around the bases.
Yeah, it is. It's one of those weird quirks, and it's a quirky ballpark, Tony. You know that. Can you just, before we get into the specifics of these first two games, can you just get us inside the mind of a hitter hitting in that ballpark? Are the quirks of that ballpark something that are in your head as you're in the batter's box? How do they affect your approach?
I think it's more on defense when you're in the outfield. You have a lot of creases and crevices out there, and you saw that ball that Jackie Bradley hit to left field, and it kind of went up against the left field wall, and Marwin couldn't really field the ball and let another runner score. So, yeah, I think it's more on defense. Hitting-wise, I mean, you can see great, and, you have a good batter's eye, and you don't really concern yourself with, how the defense is aligning or what the field's looking like. But, yeah, I think it's more on defense is what you need to worry about once you're in the outfield.
It is the most unique MLB venue, I think, that's out there. I wonder if they've ever considered automatics, like when we were kids. If it hits a certain spot, that's a double. Hits another spot, that's a single. It is pretty crazy the way you have to play some of those caroms. Tony, I got a question for you that's well off of what I think we are mainly going to talk about. But since you were up in Boston, I got a buddy who lives on Cape Cod, and he told me that you are a former Kituat Kettleer. Is that accurate?
That's right.
Kituat Kettleer. And I'm wondering, the summer you spent in Cape Cod playing baseball, what did that mean for the development of your career? And did you guys ever do a roadie into the city to catch a game at Fenway?
Yeah. Funny story. So actually, I'm still pretty close with my host family, and they were actually, coming up to the games up in Boston. And, once we played there in September as well, they came, and the Greens, they're one of the best host families up there. And, yeah, I played for Kituat, and that summer was very important. I mean, going off a bad sophomore year at Vandy, I hit like 260 and didn't really play that well. And I was going to the Cape, and there's a lot of question marks going into my career at that point. Also in the draft and the upcoming year for my junior season. So went to the Cape, had a pretty good showing, hit a couple home runs. I think I hit like 330 up there. I think I was an all-star at the end of that summer. So, yeah, that summer was important. I changed a lot of mechanics hitting-wise. I tried a two-hand finish that was something that I needed to incorporate into my swing, and it actually showed a lot of positive benefits. So, yeah, that summer was awesome. I always remember that summer just because there's so much talent in that 2013 draft class, especially having, guys like, especially Kevin Zomek's not playing anymore, but he was a second-round pick with the Tigers. He was up there with me. Jacob Mays, just a lot of good talent that was up there during that summer.
Tony Kemp talking to us on Sports Radio 610. I want to. I have one more question. We're playing a little "This Is Your Life," Tony Kemp. I feel like at the outset of this interview, but I promise we'll get to games one and two in a second.
Hey, it's all good.
But you told us last week, Tony. You mentioned how you had texted with Mookie Betts before the ALCS, and I knew he was from Tennessee. But Rich and I were furiously Wikipediaing after you had mentioned that, and it looks like the ages line up and the geography lines up. Can you go into a little bit more your relationship with Mookie Betts?
Yeah, Mookie was always one of those guys who he played up for his age, and he was always one of the best players on the team. So I knew he was going to be good a while ago. We actually recruited to have him play on our team for the National Yankees. Because he went to John Overton High School, which is about 15 minutes north of Centennial High School, where I went to high school, and we were in the same division. So seeing him play as a freshman and I was a sophomore and junior, I'm like, okay, we need to have this guy on our summer team. So, Mookie played with us and, I did a couple of interviews and people were curious. And, I hit lead off and Mookie hit second and Robbie Ray for the Diamondbacks hit third. And I always say that Robbie was one of the best hitters on our team. He actually texted me the other day, saw one of the articles, and said that he appreciates the compliment that he was one of the best hitters on our team. But he was. He would, if we played 2 7-inning games and a doubleheader, usually 6 and 8 o'clock in the summer, he would pitch game one, probably have 10 strikeouts and hit a home run usually or whatever, and then the next game he would play first base and DH. So he was one of the studs.
So, did you guys ever consider some sort of side wager on the outcome of this series?
No side wager, but, I was texting him. I said, good luck in this upcoming series, but not too much luck.
Gotcha. I totally understand. So, let's talk a little bit about tonight's game. Game three in the series. Nathan Eovaldi, I guess, is the scheduled starter for the Red Sox. What can you tell us about him? What do you expect tonight?
Yeah, he's got a lot of good pitches. Everything's pretty hard. He's got some cut to his fastball, so got to be aware of that. Once you go into that bat, you got to kind of know that. But he mixes up his pitches well. He pitched good against the Yankees, and when he was at the Rays and before he went to the Red Sox, we kind of got to him a little bit. So I think we're going to be going back and looking at those videos, making sure that we can pick up on some cues, so when we go up to the plate, we have a general idea of what we need to do.
Tony Kemp joining us on Sports Radio 610. Tony, the cliche when it comes to these seven-game series is that the road team, when you start out on the road those first two games, hey, if we get a split in those two games, now we've got home field advantage. I'm curious, is that how you guys felt coming back from Boston, like you accomplished your goal, or was there a part of you guys that felt like, man, we feel like we should have won both of those games up in Boston?
Yeah, definitely going into a game, especially that hostile environment, you want to definitely at least take one of those games. I think taking the first game was the most important one, but going back to it, man, I mean, I feel like we ate up a lot of that bullpen, and that's what we wanted to do. So going into, this game three, I think the team has a lot of confidence, and, it's just a good vibe around the clubhouse, and, being around these guys is, something special because – we've already been here. We went to the World Series. You can kind of see that there's no panic. You just kind of, okay, we lost the game. It is what it is. Let's go to the next one. You can't really panic too much in the seven-game series because, you got time to catch up. But now that we're back at home and Minute Maid's going to be rocking, it's going to be a fun game three.
Can you talk about that a little bit more? You just said something that I think is interesting, that you got into their bullpen in those first two games. Can you just speak to the cumulative effect of a seven-game series and how important it is to work counts, to get into a bullpen early, and, mm-hmm. and what the ripple effect of that is as each game goes by?
Yeah, being able to knock out Price early on and being able to get Sale out there early on is big for us because once we can get into that bullpen, you can wear some of those guys down. I mean, they're carrying more position players than they are pitchers. So, they're going to be relying on some of their guys to, come in and fill in some of those big gaps. So they're going to try their best to try to get to Kimbrel any way they can. So being able to get to that bullpen, not having starters go into the seventh inning, but get them out in the fifth or even the sixth is big for us just because, the more pitches that they throw, once they get up to the 80-90 pitch count and, Corey takes them out, then we know that it's time to really get going. So I think coming out of Boston, I think I'm going to give our team a win in that category, being able to split and being able to eat up some of those bullpen innings. So I think that's good for us.
Tony, when we talk about the success of this organization over the last few years, people are immediately going to talk about the analytics and how they've taken the data gathering process kind of to the next level, and they've identified some great talent and brought it into the organization. I'm not sure we spend enough time talking about A.J. Hinch's people skills and how the job he does managing all the personalities and the characters on this team. Your situation is a perfect example. You know, you might be in the lineup one day, not in the lineup the next day, and I'm sure he's got to find a way to keep you as engaged as possible. Can you talk a little bit about what kind of a people manager A.J. Hinch has been for this team and how important that's been?
Yeah, A.J.'s a special guy. He majored in psychology in college, so if that tells you anything, you can kind of tell he knows how people think and he knows how things operate. But, he's had success for a reason. And, you know, going back to the whole analytics thing, I mean, I think that our organization is ahead of a lot of other organizations just because of analytics. And, you know, talking to teammates who've gone on to other teams and, the lingo that we talk in is just a different lingo because they've never heard, you know, this pitcher has hop on his fastball or, you know, his changeup moves horizontally 15 inches and, you know, things look out for. So I think analytics plays a huge part in today's game. But, going back to AJ, he's one of those guys. He knows how to work a team. He knows, you know, he's one of the best managers in baseball for a reason, just because he's a player's coach and he gets it. I mean, he played in the big leagues. He understands, you know, when you need rest and in mentally when you need a day if you're struggling at the plate. So, going forward, I mean, AJ is good at his job for a reason.
Tony Kemp talking to us on Sports Radio 610. So, Tony, Dallas Keuchel going tonight, Charlie Morton in Game 4. Do you ever stop and sit and think, holy crap, Dallas Keuchel and Charlie Morton are number 3 and 4 starters, guys who would be 1 and 2s on most teams in Major League Baseball. What kind of confidence does that give you guys?
Yeah, well, you know, in order for myself to stay fresh, I've been taking lives off those guys. If you can picture myself up there and being able to say, wow. Okay, so these are 3 and 4 our starters. The guys have, you know, great stuff. I mean, Dallas Keuchel does a great job tunneling all of his pitches. I mean, everything looks the same until the last second. You're either getting a slider, cutter, or two-seam on your hand, so you kind of have to pick a position of where you're going to have to swing. You kind of have to sit on the pitch with him, so that makes it even more difficult. You know, he gets a lot of ground balls for a reason because of that late movement within the zone. And then Charlie Morton, being able to see him on, you know, some good rest, his ball is absolutely exploding out of his hand. So, I fouled a couple pitches off. He threw me some sliders, and he's mixing all his pitches well. So I'm excited to see those guys go in tonight's game and in Game 4.
Talk about an advantage. I mean, you just laid it out there. I was also thinking about Lance McCullers, who on a lot of playoff teams might be part of a starting playoff rotation.
Yeah.
What a weapon he is on the back end as well.
Yeah, he's been huge. Lance has, you know, battled with some injuries this year, but he's a warrior. He's one of those guys, he goes on the mound and you're playing defense behind him and you're always on your toes because you never know when, he's going to bust out, you know, that slider or that 95-mile-an-hour two-seam. And he keeps everything interesting on defense and he has good pace on the mound. He has good presence and, he's been one of the best pitchers in the big leagues for the last 3 years for a reason. So, I can't wait to see what that guy's future holds, especially if he can stay healthy for a full year. He's definitely got some electric stuff.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.